content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Cronin from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I shall be reading to you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Okay, how about some letters from this month's issue? From the April issue, actually. Don't waste your money. Another tip. Years ago, my husband and I installed heating in our ranch house's basement. Everyone thought we were crazy. But the power company said the basement would warm the floor upstairs and our bill would hardly rise. They were right. It went up only $3 a month. You warn against buying unrefrigerated grocery store bouquets that are displayed near the fruits and vegetables because some produce naturally gives off ethylene gas, which can shorten flower life. While the gas can impact the longevity of some cut flowers, studies indicate that fresh produce in a ventilated grocery store will not have that effect. Starting a new chapter. I love to hear of people succeeding against all odds. Carl Allenby's stories from the car doc to people doc was no exception. However, as a registered nurse who also went back to school and earned 3 degrees, I take exception to the wording, he'd like to become a doctor, but it would be more practical to aim lower. Physician education is difficult, no arguing that, but an RN, a physician's assistant, and a physical therapist are not lower on any scale than a doctor. They are totally different jobs and require a good amount of education. That's from Dini Hunsinger, RN, Roseville, California. The last days of the pioneer. Here in Kingsbury County, South Dakota, the Lake Preston Times and the DeSmet News both recently folded after over 130 years of publishing. Volunteers from both towns got together to start a new paper, the Kingsbury Journal. 4 staffers and 42 volunteer writers, proofreaders, and deliverers put out a paper every week. It's a vital part of our community. Food on your plate. There was a mango tree where I stared years ago in Costa Rica. I took advantage once a day and later noticed a strange rash on my hand that looked very much like poison ivy. Small blisters. But it didn't itch as much. When I returned to the States, my dermatologist asked if I'd peeled a mango lately. Apparently mangoes and poison ivy are in the same family. That's why we see washed in hot water written on mango boxes. All in a day's work. Just read about some of the wacky billing codes doctors use to denote your visit for insurance companies, such as Y93.D1, stabbed while crocheting. Years ago, I got a bill for blood work when there shouldn't have been any charge. My insurance rep realized the doctor mistakenly put a code for struck by a car while exiting a bus. Top folk remedies from around the world. You say that Germans use marigolds for health benefits. Kalandu officials is sometimes called pot marigold. But it is very different from the bushy blossom, pungently scented marigolds of the Targetes genus that are probably more familiar with. Targetes can be used as a flavoring and a colorant, but it doesn't have the medicinal properties that calendulas do. Wow, that's interesting. Thanks for the MREs. Taste of home brought back memory of eating MREs with my paratrooper hubby, sometimes when funds ran low, but more often for the thrill of adventure. We each had favors. His was barbecued beef and mine chicken a la king. There was something cereal box prize about finding what mystery dessert and snack came with your main meal. I had to laugh when the author said her mother claimed MREs would constipate them. A friend in the reserve once joked that MREs actually stood for meal refusing to exit. Everyday Heroes. Fighting for country and Beethoven. During a stressful time, a National Guardsman Stein still finds a way to lead his class. And there's a picture of him standing there in uniform in front of what looks like the Lincoln Memorial. Watching Sergeant Cohut teach music has given me hope, says a fellow guardsman. Sergeant Jacob Cohut finally had some downtime during his 12-hour shift standing guard outside the U.S. Capitol. He could have spent his lone break napping or cracking jokes with fellow National Guardsmen. Instead, he sat in the back of a Humvee, flute in hand, teaching students via his laptop how to play Beethoven's Ode to Joy. Cohut, 35, was among more than 20,000 troops providing security ahead of then-President-elect Joe Biden's inauguration in January. That meant he was on double duty as an active member of the National Guard and as a dedicated school band teacher. I'm a soldier for the Guard, but I'm as much a soldier for music education, he says. Cohut has been in the military for 11 years as part of the 257th Army Band, playing the bassoon and saxophone. He also has been a band teacher for more than a decade. And for the past 5 years, he's taught music at 2 Fairfax County, Virginia schools, Canterbury Woods Elementary School in the morning and Frost Middle School in the afternoon. When he was called up for duty, my first thought was, what about my kids, said Cohut. The last things these students need is disruption in their teaching. I would rather teach the class, even if that means I'm tired. When on duty, Kohut's days begin in the morning with teaching his elementary class remotely from the drill floor of the D.C. Armory, finishing the lesson mere minutes before his guard shift started at 10 a.m. Later in the day, during his break, he would go online to teach his middle school students from the back of a Humvee. Diane Leipzig, the principal of Canterbury Woods Elementary, assured Kohut she would find a substitute teacher to cover his classes while he protected the Capitol, but he insisted on continuing to teach. Leipzig wasn't surprised. He would do anything for his students, she says. He's an excellent example. He teaches our kids the importance of practice, determination, and resilience. Music has always been a driving force in Kohut's life. He was an avid saxophone player throughout high school, studied music in college, and ultimately earned his doctorate in music composition at George Mason University. What I really wanted to do was teach, says Kohut, who is married and has a 3-year-old son. My mom, who's a single mother, was a music teacher. That's why I do what I do, because she was such a good role model. Kohut's double duty has caught the attention of parents at Canterbury Woods Elementary. I just wanted to share how impressed I am with Dr. Kohut this week, Susie Britton wrote in an email to Leipzig. This morning he taught band online from D.C. in his fatigues, which just seems so beyond the expectations of a teacher in these circumstances. Kohut insisted he's not doing anything extraordinary. He's simply taking care of what needs to be done. We are here to do what's needed, and if that means standing outside for 18 hours straight in the freezing cold, we're ready to do that, he says. But amid the long and sometimes stressful hours of standing guard, Kohut said his teaching time offers solace. As the 11 instruments played by his virtual students synchronized in a song, the familiar melody of Ode to Joy rang through the Humvee. In that moment, Kohut realized there wasn't a timelier tune to teach his students. It's a symbol of unity and peace, he says, and that's what the world needs right now. Honk if you love birds. When Ariel Cordova Rojas rode her bike to Jamaica Bay Wildlife Refuge in Queens, New York last November, she plans to go hiking and bird watching. Bingo! A mile into her walk, she spotted a gorgeous female butte swan near the water's edge. Cordova Rojas, 30, and there's a picture over here holding a swan, had worked at the Wild Bird Fund Rehabilitation Center in Manhattan, knew that the mute swans could be aggressive. But as we approached this one, it didn't move. She was certain that the bird needed medical attention. Cordova Rojas draped her jacket over the bird's head to keep it calm, gingerly picked it up and cradled it in her arms, and then thought struck her, what do I do now? Her best bet was the rehab center, but that was across the East River and clear on the other side of town. How was she going to transport a 17-pound swan on her bike all the way back? Luckily, some bemused stranger diving by offered her, her bike and the swan, a lift to a nearby subway station. On the subway, no one seemed particularly fazed by the feather passenger. Hey, this is New York. One guy, says Cordova Rojas, was sitting right in front of me on his phone. I didn't know if he noticed there was a swan in front of him. Cordova Rojas called the rehab center en route, and Trista Higginbottom, an animal care manager, picked her up at the subway station and drove the bird, bike, and rescuer to the facility. There, staff members determined that the swan might have lead poisoning caused by ingesting weights used on fishing lines. The staff got Swan back up on her web feet. She even made a boyfriend at the center, another injured swan. Sadly, even with all that TLC, the swan contracted a bacterial infection. 2 months after Cordova Rojas came to her rescue, she passed away. It's a disappointing ending, but the real story is just how far some people are willing to go to save a swan in a big city, literally. In all, Cordova Rojas traveled 2 hours by foot, car, and subway while hauling her bike, says Higginbotham. That's the perfect summary of who she is. A world of good. Altruism. We all scream for ice cream. Tina Jensen has seen a few daisy chains of kindness in her day, but nothing like this. A manager of 2 Dairy Queens in Brainerd, Minnesota, Jensen says that a drive-through customer will occasionally pick up the tab for strangers in the next car, and those grateful strangers will do the same for the car behind, and then following car does the same. Sometimes the chain can last for 20 cars before petering out. Last December, in the heart of the holiday season and the third wave of COVID-19 illnesses, the kindness almost never stopped. In fact, it lasted for 2 days and over 900 cars. Or put another way, people bought $10,000 worth of ice cream for strangers. During times like these, it kind of restores your faith in humanity a little, said Heidi Bruce, who did her part to pay it forward in the line on one of the nights. The way the world is now, you see a lot of anger, tension, and selfish behavior. What we witnessed was pure kindness, and it was a breath of fresh air, really. And then there's a picture of a young man without legs, but with artificial feet, obviously, and a pickaxe in his hand and Matterhorn in the background. Determination. Disabled veteran conquers the Matterhorn. Neil Heritage lost both his legs at a suicide bomb attack in Iraq in 2004. But that didn't come close to stopping him. Heritage went on to compete in triathlons, learn to ski, join a team that rode across the Atlantic Ocean. Now 39, he recently became the first above-the-knee double amputee to scale the Matterhorn. The British ex-corporal, who raised about $8,000 for veterans charity via sponsors of his climb, says he's over the moon. It's been a dream for a long time. It was his third attempt to reach the peak. Fellow climber Mark Hook said it was so special, managed to achieve something we worked so hard on over the years. Heritage is already planning his next challenge, kayaking the Amazon River. Mother Earth, an environmentalist who is a cut above. Most hairdressers sweeping up around their chairs is just part of the job. For Thierry Gross, it didn't seem like enough. As a child of the 1970s, he heard that human hair had been used to help soak up 200,000 tons of oil that leaked from a tanker that ran around off the coast of France. When Gross opened his own salon in the southern French town of Brignoles, he didn't want all that hair to go to waste. So he started Coiffeurs Justes, Fair Hairdressers, a program that collects hair, I hope I pronounced that correctly, and stuffs it into nylon stockings. These hairy tubes can be used to line harbors where they soak up 8 times their weight in oil. The program is now gathering hair from salons in France, Germany, Belgium, and Luxembourg. And there's a picture of him cutting hair in a chair. How about a little lightness? Life in these United States. And there's a picture of a cartoon of a woman lying in what is apparently a hospital bed with a chart at the foot, the doctor leaning over her bed and saying, "You're more than just a patient to me, Mrs. Melnick. You're a potential medical journal article." Every year, by the way, this is life in these United States. Every year for my birthday, my husband buys me a particular perfume that has a delicate floral scent that I especially love. This past year, with money tight, I told him not to bother getting me the gift. Instead, I asked him to handwrite a beautiful letter encapsulating our 25 years together. My husband leaned in, gently took my hand, and begged, "Can I please just buy you a bottle of perfume?" Scene. A morning with my 6-year-old granddaughter, Emma. Me. "Would you like bacon and eggs for breakfast?" Emma. "I only like eggs when they're mixed with something." Me. "Like omelets?" "No, like brownies." That's from Trinity, North Carolina. "My mutant superpower is I can open any snacks packaging the wrong way, so it's impossible to close it again." Spotted on the back of an Amish horse-drawn carriage in Pennsylvania, this handwritten sign: "Energy-efficient vehicle, runs on oats and grass, caution, do not step in the exhaust." My favorite species of birds are the ones named by people who clearly hate birds. Drab seed-eater, go-away bird, rough-faced shag, common loon, sad flycatcher, little bustard, perplexing scrub wren, satanic nightjar, monotonous lark. My niece wants to know if she donates her hair and a recipient of her hair commits a crime and leaves hair at the crime scene, will her DNA be found all over the crime scene and thus incriminate her? She's 12. While doing volunteer work, I began to sing a favorite song of mine to pass the time. Another volunteer perked up his ears. "Who sings that?" he asked. "The Traveling Wilburys," I replied. He nodded. "Well, let's keep it that way. Let's sleep on it if we can." My husband rolled over and open-mouthed snored directly into my eyes last night. If you're wondering how we keep the magic alive. My wife is napping and I have to sneeze. This is not going to end well for me. Sleeping under separate blankets should have been the marriage advice everybody gave me a year and a half ago. It's funny that my wife thinks I have a side of the bed. I think she means my sliver of bed I've been allotted. Department of Wit. Robots gone wild. What happens when you train a machine to take over for humans? It screws up, just like humans do. And there's a picture of a robot trying to put together a chair, and he's got the legs on the seat, and the back is straight there, so obviously he's doing it just like you or me. Robots really are taking over the world. They're writing novels. The first was I, the Road, a cyborg's homage to Jack Kerouac. Kerouac, published in 2018. And they're making lunch. The California restaurant called Cali Burger is trying out a robot that can flip 2,000 burgers a day. What human can compete, especially given that androids don't complain, ask for raises, or get drunk at the office Christmas party? To celebrate the 100th anniversary of the coining of the word robot by the Czech playwright Karel Kapek, we thought it would be fun to take a look at the other side of robot kind, one that's all too human. Here's a by-no-means complete list of failed attempts by automatons to replace us flesh and bone types. Hold the bio-turd-treed. Janelle Sheen, an optics research scientist, wanted to find out whether artificial intelligence could create a menu that didn't taste, well, artificial. So she fed a computer 30,000 cookbook recipes and then programmed it to create its own recipes. The result, something called bio-turd-treed tuna pie. Want to make it? You'll need these ingredients. One hard-cooked apple mayonnaise, 5 lumps thinly sliced. Once you have your apple mayo and lumps, surround with one and a half dozen heavy water by high, and drain and cut into 1/4 inch remaining in the skillet. Another specialty was tart cover shrimp butter wool, featuring fried pale fruit to cover that drain. Are you out of paid fried pale fruit? You might have some rice, though you'd probably never used. 1 cup grated white rice. As listed in another recipe, clearly, Betty Crocker could sleep easily. You call that service? A few years back, the Henna Hotel in Nagasaki, Japan, hired 243 robots to cover positions ranging from concierge to bellhop. Unfortunately, the check-in robots had trouble answering guest questions and photocopying passports, while bellhop robots kept banging into walls and tripping over curbs. One in-room assistant sprang to attention every time a lodger snored, saying, "Sorry, I couldn't catch that. Could you repeat your request?" Not long after the experiment began, the hotel fired half of the malfunctioning robots, and they didn't get their tips either. Stop the presses. In 2017, the Los Angeles Times published a story about a 6.8 earthquake that shook Santa Barbara, California. You would expect such a large quake to have gotten a lot of press coverage, and it did in 1925 when the earthquake happened. Turns out the report was produced by a computer program called the QuakeBot, which generates articles based on notices from the U.S. Geological Survey. When a staffer at the USGS made an error while updating the historical data, the QuakeBot jumped on it as it were breaking news. Soon, Southern Californians were quaking in their boots over a non-earthquake. Look familiar? Facial recognition software has one problem. It can't always recognize faces. The American Civil Liberties Union proved that point when it used the Amazon recognition software to match mugshots of criminals to 28 members of Congress. But what about soccer ball recognition? During a match last year, the Scottish soccer team Inverness Caledonian Thistle FC unveiled an AI-programmed video cameras designed to automatically follow the ball. Alas, the cameras constantly mistook the referee's bald head for the soccer ball. One helpful viewer called the claim to suggest is blind the ref with a toupee. Now that's funny. Quick, grab a broom. What's the worst a robotic vacuum cleaner could do, right? Let Jesse Newton fill you in. Poor Newton. His new puppy pooped on the floor sometime before 1:30 a.m. while he and his wife were asleep. How did Newton come up with that particular time? Our Roomba runs at 1:30 every night, he noted a week later. And it found the poop, and so it began. The poop catastrophe, the poop collapse, the poopening. The robot vacuum spread the load throughout the house, decorating floorboards, furniture, legs, and rugs, resulting in a home that closely resembles a Jackson Pollock poop painting, as Newton described it. Whatever you do, don't anger Sophia. Sophia is a social humanoid robot developed by Hanson Robotics. She has an attractive face with a square jaw, high cheekbones, and impressive eyebrows. She can hold a conversation to rival the mere chit-chat of Apple's Siri. This is surely the robot of the future. When CEO David Hanson and Sophia appeared on CNBC's The Pulse, Hanson asked the robot the questions humans have been asking themselves about robots for years. Sophia, do you want to destroy humans? Without hesitation, Sophia, smiling a tad too broadly for our taste, responded, "Okay, I will destroy humans. Humans, you've been warned." Your true story is in 100 words. A beautiful gesture. Our granddaughter was born with a pronounced facial defect. She and her daughter have endured many cruel comments. One day while shopping, they were approached by a woman they didn't know. Both stiffened, awaiting a rude remark, but the lady smiled and said, "This gift card is for your beautiful daughter so she can buy something special for herself." God bless that woman for reminding them beauty comes in all forms. Wrong way driver. As I struggled to start the gray Plymouth Voyager, I noticed a lady glaring at me through the driver's side window. I realized only then that I was in the wrong car. I got out of the minivan and apologized profusely, explaining that my vehicle was identical. I pray she didn't recognize me as the new school superintendent. As I walked away, I recalled that my wife had the Voyager. I had taken our green Volkswagen Bug. The lady continued to stare at me as I got in and drove away. She's on KP duty. While the adults finished their coffee, RJ6 and his sister Marissa 4 went off to play. Soon the doorbell rang. It was a police officer. "Is everything all right?" he asked. He said 3 911 calls had come from the house. "We're fine," Grandma replied. "There must be some mistake." The officer asked the kids whether they made the calls. Petrified, RJ said, "Not me." Marissa started sobbing uncomfortably. Then she looked at the officer and said, "But my brother didn't eat his vegetables." The food on your plate. I am soy, a proto-protein with a problem. You might think of me as the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde of vegetables. I am a super healthy meat alternative and nitrogen-fixing, soil-improving wonder crop. Yet I, soybean, am also tied to world wars, one of history's worst poisons, and deforestation and climate change, an agriculture monster incarnate. So am I primarily good or bad? Let me tell you my story and I'll let you decide. First, the good. I am a delicious little package of nutrition that you can eat green, snappy, and salted with endomame in those fuzzy bean pods, dried as a crunchy snack, or ground and processed into soy milk, tofu, or delightful tofu skins called yuba. I hide in endless American foods, including veggie burgers, soy cream cheese, soy nut butters and cheeses, and egg substitutes. I'm also regularly found in less healthy processed foods such as packaged goods and crackers. I'm essential in various Asian cuisines such as soy sauce, of course, and soybean paste such as Japanese miso, Korean doyanyang, and Chinese dubayanyang. In Japan, they eat me fermented as a slimy, wonderful, funky natto, while in China, a different fermentation process turns me into the deeply salty, savory beans critical to black bean sauce. And don't forget soybean oil, which is the second most used vegetable oil in the world, outranked only by palm oil. Yet the first known mention of me to reach the New World wasn't until 1770, when Ben Franklin wrote a letter from London to a friend in Philadelphia excitedly describing what he called Chinese cheese, made from Chinese garavances. They called chickpeas garavances back then, so his characterization was a sign of his utter lack of familiarity with me. I'm hardly offended. There are worse things to be mistaken for than a chickpea. But it, like most beans, requires a carbohydrate partner for you humans to get complete protein. Think rice and beans. I'm different. I have the full array of amino acids, so nutritionally at least, I can truly substitute for meat, which, as your doctor may have mentioned, can be a healthy way to go. I'm also high in vitamin C, potassium, thiamine, and folate. Franklin, I might add, wasn't totally wrong to mistake tofu for cheese. Making tofu is strikingly similar to cheese making. Take my milk and coagulate it, but instead of using rennet, as you would with cheese, you generally use mineral salts rich in magnesium or calcium. After it coagulates to become silken tofu, the most basic form, you break that up into blocks and then drain and press it to get different levels of firmness. Given my mind-boggling versatility, you'd think I would next tout my rank as the fourth most cultivated crop in the world. Actually, this is where the Mr. Hyde part comes in. In 2018, most of the 356 million tons of meat grown globally was perversely devoted to growing the food I should often replace in your diet, beef. My role as livestock feed makes me a deforestation machine. In 2015 alone, the Amazon rainforest shrank by more than 2,000 square miles, and a significant part of the Cerrado, a critical savanna in Brazil, had been razed to make room for fields of me and the animals I feed. This is thought to have widespread global repercussions. The reoccurring droughts in California, those horrible fires in the Amazon a couple years ago. Scientists have good reason to tie those to the burning of South American forests to clear land and grow more of me. Unfortunately, the darker part of my story didn't begin to climate change. 1904, Russia and Japan went to war, fighting in part over soybean-rich land in Manchuria. As the bloodshed grew, I fed the warriors and my oil was used to literally lubricate war machinery. Later in the 1960s, science developing ways to make meat flour more efficiently discovered that chemicals they were using could also make a powerful herbicide. The result was a horrific blow weapon, Agent Orange. Yet my potential for good also became clear decades ago. In the early 1900s, a legendary agricultural scientist, George Washington Carver, trained his creative mind on me, identifying me as a great crop for reinvigorated, depleted soil. This is truly a healthy quality of mind, eclipsed by our contemporary deforestation problem. If humans were to eat more of me rather than feeding massive quantities of meat to livestock, the system would be far more efficient and we'd have healthier bodies and forests. Given that it takes 6 pounds of meat to produce 1 pound of beef, the beef eater who eats more of me in meat's place lessens the demand for both of us, as strange as that sounds. Carver ultimately worked with the great technology innovator and vegetarian Henry Ford, who went next level on me as he obsessively sought to develop soy-based paints, textiles, and fabric from thousands of acres of soybean crops. Eventually, Ford even funded research into a car built out of soy-derived plastics and resins. It never went beyond a concept car, but I haven't given up hope. Anyone have contact info for Elon Musk? Miso-marinated salmon. In a small bowl, stir together 1/4 cup white miso, shiro miso, 3 tablespoons mirin, 1 tablespoon sake, and 1 tablespoon soy sauce until smooth. In a dish that can hold 4 to 6 8-ounce skin on salmon fillets, each 1.5 to 2 inches thick, rub half the mixture all over the salmon. Reserve the extra marinade. Cover and place in the refrigerator for at least 30 minutes and up to 4 hours. When ready, preheat broiler and set rack 8 inches from broiler element. Using paper towels, pat excess marinade from salmon, then arrange skin side down on a foil baking sheet, spacing fillets 1 inch apart. Broil until salmon is beginning to brown in spots, about 5 minutes. Remove from oven, brush salmon on tops and sides with reserved marinade, then return to broiler until browned on top, and salmon begins to flake easily with a fork, about 4 minutes longer. Colette, Suzette, Antoinette. Imagine a little French girl named Cigarette. And with that, let's switch over to the Consumer Reports. And the Time Traveler, their monthly thing where they run through things that have happened over the years. And this subject, this time, is product safety. 1936, CR says mineral oil nose drops, a treatment for nasal congestion, can cause pneumonia. As a result of our efforts, many hospitals across the U.S. stopped using them. In 1951, we test 30 models of electric irons and found that 7 can cause burns to users, earning them CR's not acceptable rating. In 1958, CR engineers test car seat belts, 1956, and discover that 26 out of 39 failed to meet even the most modest guidelines. We call for better belts and later for federal standards based on crash tests. In 1969, CR urges parents to avoid purchasing this portable crib known as the Kitty Coop after 2 infants die allegedly from being caught between the lid and the side of the crib. And the crib actually has a hinged lid on top of it. 1972, Congress passes a law creating Consumer Product Safety Commission. In 1973, CR evaluates microwave ovens and founds that they leak radiation. We warn readers with and petition to make it federal standards on microwave emissions more strident. In 1982, we asked the CPSC to investigate the fire and air pollution risks CR uncovered in kerosene heaters testing. The CPSC recommends new industry safety practices to reduce those risks. In 1990, CR's tests reveal that it takes only a solid kick to the door to break a door lock, but longer screws in the strike plate can improve the strength of some locks we find. 2012, our test finds arsenic in rice and more than 60 rice products, including infant rice cereals. CR calls on the Food and Drug Administration to set limits on the amount of arsenic allowed in these products. In 2021, CR's ongoing investigation into deaths related to infant sleepers underscores a lack of safety standards for these products, which puts consumers to risk. CR Insights. Bargain tablets. Consumers shopping for an inexpensive tablet have plenty of options. A few may be as appealing as the Amazon Fire HD and the OWN Tablet Pro 8. For less than $100, you get an 8-inch tablet designed for lightweight tasks such as browsing the web, streaming video, and reading ebooks. Not too shabby, especially considering the lowest-priced Apple tablet starts at $330. But what sets these two very similar-seeming tablets apart? Our testing results and insights below reveal the differences. The Amazon Fire HT8 scored 72 and has a $90 price tag. The ONN Tablet Pro 8 scored a 64 and has a $90 price tag as well. Both have an 8-inch screen size. The operating system on the Amazon is a Fire OS 7.3, and it's an Android 10 on the ONN tablet. And the App Store is the Amazon App Store, and the other is a Google Play App Store. Performance, the Amazon got an average. The performance got a plus. The display that got an Amazon got an average. The display got an average as well. Convenience, they both got a plus. Photo and video, the Amazon Fire got an average. Photo and video on the own tablet got a negative. Versatility, the Amazon got a plus and the own got a plus. Battery life is quite a bit difference. 15.8 on the Amazon, 12.5 on the own. Battery life, video hours, 15.2 on the Amazon, only 10.6 on the own. GPS, no on the Amazon, yes on the own. Internal storage, 32 gigabytes. CR's take. With a better battery life and camera than the ONN tablet, this Fire offers many great apps. But Gmail users may be frustrated to find that it's missing apps like Gmail and Google Calendar. CR's take on the other one is Walmart's tablet has a speedy and smooth performance for its price, but photos aren't great and video quality is just okay. So if you plan to use the camera a lot, you may prefer the Fire. CR Money Saver, free weekly credit reports extended into April 2022. Changes to your credit reports, which compact your ability to get a loan or a credit card, happen almost daily, says Syed Ayaz, a financial policy analyst for CR. So checking your report regularly is a smart way to catch potential errors and stay on top of your financial health. Before the pandemic, credit bureaus, which by law must provide a single free report annually, could charge you about $12 for each additional report you requested. But during the pandemic, the three major credit bureaus, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion, began offering consumers free credit reports and recently announced that they will continue to do so on a weekly basis until April 2022. Take action. Attain copies of each year's reports from all three bureaus at annualcreditreport.com and check out our July issue, which will contain advice on how to fix report errors and more. We'll have to look at that when it comes around in July. How to sharpen your knives at home. This is a cutting article. If you haven't sharpened your kitchen knives over the past few months, or if you've never sharpened them, you might notice it's difficult to chop an onion or slice a tomato. A dull blade is probably to blame, and it's not just frustrating, it's actually a safety risk. A sharp knife is a safe knife, says Taryn Flynn, senior buyer of Cutterly at the cookware retailer Williams-Sonoma. That means he's counterintuitive, but if the edge of your blade is sharp, it's less likely to slip potentially into a finger as you press down to cut. To keep knife sharp, use one of these basic home tools, a pull-through sharpener, the easy tools for infrequent cooks, an electric sharpener for those who cook a lot but want something simple, or a whetstone for dedicated home chefs. The electric sharpener. Who's it for? Frequent cooks who don't want to spend extra effort that other matches such as whetstones require. How it works. Most electric models have electric slots fitted with motor drives, abrasive wheels that sharpen and refine both sides of a blade. But wheels wear out over time and need to be replaced. Flexible belt sharpeners, the newer addition to the market, use rotating abrasive belts to sharpen one side of a blade at a time. A guide help keeps your blade at your knife at the correct angle. Both types usually have at least two stages, one to sharpen the blade, creating an edge, and one or two additional stages to sharpen that edge. Price anywhere from $50 to $200 and up. High-quality models will have multiple sharpening stages. Pull-through sharpeners. Who's it for? Occasional cooks who want a fast, easy, and inexpensive way to sharpen. How it works. The least expensive option, and usually the quickest to use, pull-through sharpeners often have a D-shaped handle on one side and a sharpening grooves or channel, also referred to as stages, on the other. You hold the sharpener steady on a counter while you pull the knife through each stage several times. The first groove sharpens the knife, and additional stages use progressively finer abrasives to refine the blade. However, these may not sharpen your knives as well as the electric model or the whetstone. Price from $5 to $50. High quality models tend to start around $15 to $20. Whetstone, who's it for? Dedicated foodies or knife enthusiasts willing to invest the time and practice sharpening technique. How it works. The basic idea of a whetstone, also called a sharpening stone, is to stroke the knife back and forth across the stone surface while holding it steady at a prescribed angle. There are many types of stones, and you usually need two or three of varying abrasion levels, a two- or three-sided single stone. Taking a sharpening class at a knife store or watching videos on your knife manufacturer's website can help. Even so, it's a skill that requires practice and one that even some professional cooks never master. Price, $30 and up, and high-quality stones are how to start at around $100. What's that rod that came with my knife set? Many knife block sets include a basic honing rod, which is an important knife maintenance tool, but it's not a sharpener per se. Honing a knife after every few uses will help it perform better and extend the time it can go between sharpenings. To use one, hold the rod upright with the handle in one hand and the tip on the cutting board. Hold the heel of the knife's blade against the rod at an approximately 20-degree angle, tilted away from the rod. Then draw the length of the blade from heel to tip along the rod as if you were taking a slice off. Repeat alternate sides 3 to 5 times. If you don't notice easier cutting after honing, it's probably time to use one of the methods above. Price $40 to $100 when sold separately. And that's something I do constantly. Not sold separately. Hone my knives. Affordable Father's Day gifts. And I'm not sure if this is going to tape after Father's Day or before. Sorry about that. Searching for something that's thoughtful but not too pricey. These cool tools and gadget all perform well in CR's tests. Chefman Anti-Overflow Belgian Waffle Baker for $30. This countertop appliance is as good at turning out calmer-colored and crispy or blonde and fluffy waffles, depending on how you like them, and has an indicator light to alert you when the waffles are ready. Practical Password Manager. That scored a 73. Bitwarden Families, $40 per year. Bitwarden's Password Manager for families can help you create and retrieve tough passwords. It's easy to use, a great gift for those who grumble about not being able to remember their logins. Best Buy Earbuds scored a 71 from Shure, $50. Our test found that these in-ear earbuds are very good sound quality for a great price and will both muffle some external noise and limit the amount of sound that escapes from the earpieces. Rechargeable Toothbrush, 71 score. Fairywheel FW508 at $23. This affordable electric toothbrush scores better in our test than some that cost four times as much. It has 5 modes and a built-in timer and earns an excellent rating in our regular screening tests. Budget-friendly air fryer, 66 score. Gourmet Digital Air GAF, $55. One of the least expensive air fryers in CR tests, the Gourmet is among the easiest to use, snagging in a very good rating. It's also quieter than some other fryers we tested. Easy-to-use exercise band. The Xiaomi, that's X-I-A-O-M-I, band 5 at $35. A good tool for any fitness buff. This water-resistant band has an accurate step counter, comes with a wireless magnetic charging connector, and is claimed to have a generous 14 days of battery life. A small smart speaker, scores 50 all. Amazon Echo Dot, $50. The latest version of the Echo Dot speaker with Alexa features all new styling as a small orb. The newest Echo sounds better than the old version, with slightly clearer highs and a bit more bass. Top-notch beard trimmer. Philips Norelco Multi-Groom 7000 at $55. The Sleep Philips Build Trimmer has a blade strong enough to cut through coarse hair. Our users also found that it's easy to handle, quick to clean, and small enough to easily pocket it for travel. And a massive insulated mug, the Bubba Classic, 52-ounce mug for $23. A fun pick for a frequent camper. This 52-ounce insulated mug could hold enough coffee to share, but won't fit in any car cup holder we've ever seen. It also has a built-in bottle opener. June apparently is the best time to buy dishwashers, insect repellents, cordless drills, and blenders. Let's do some recalls. Audi A3 vehicles. Audi is recalling 153,000 A3 vehicles because the passenger occupant detection system, PODS, may detect a malfunction and deactivate the airbag even when someone is sitting in the front passenger seat. This increases the risk of injury to a front passenger in a crash. Vehicles recalled are the 2015 to 2020 S3 and A3 sedan, 2016 to 2018 A3 e-tron, 2017 to 2020 RS3 sedan, and 2015 to 2019 A3 Cabriolet. A passenger airbag off warning will illuminate on the instrument panel when the airbag is not active if the warning appears. Audi recommends not using the passenger seat and taking the vehicle to an Audi dealer as soon as possible. What to do? Audi is currently still investigating the cause of the problem and has not yet determined a remedy. Audi expects to mail interim notices informing owners of the safety risk and a second notice when the remedy is available. Audi's number for this recall is 69BY. J-Hunt Accent Tables. Jimco Lamps is recalling about 99,000 J-Hunt Home and J-Hunt Home & Company account tables, accent tables with charging receptacles, because the receptacles and or USB ports installed in the tables can have an electrical problem that poses a shock hazard. The tables were sold at Home Goods, TJ Maxx, Marshalls, and other home furnishing stores and online through May 19 through December 2020 for $60 to $130. What to do? Stop using the charging receptacles and ports. Contact Jimco Lamps at 833-659-0753 or go to jhunthome.com or jimcolamp.com for details to get a full refund or a free replacement accent table. HR Platform Bed Frames. Global Home Imports is recalling about 82,000 HR Platform bed frames because they could collapse, posing a crush hazard that resulted in severe injury or death. Ooh. The frames were sold at American Furniture Warehouse, Mattress Firm, and Furniture and Warehouse and Mattress Stores from April 2020 through January 2021 for about $200. What to do? Stop using the bed frame. Contact Global Home Imports at 888-550-4371 or go to bedtech.com and click on HR Recall for details. H.D. Hudson Garden Sprayers. H.T. Hudson is recalling about 64,000 Illumist battery-powered garden sprayers because the lithium-ion battery can overheat, posing a fire hazard. The sprayers were sold at Lowe's stores and online at Amazon from December 2019 through January 2021 for $40 to $50. What to do? Stop using the sprayer, remove the battery tray, and look for a brown battery. If the battery is brown, remove it and the tray and dispose of them in accordance with local laws for disposal of lithium-ion batteries. Contact H.T. Hudson at 800-394-8802 or go to hthudson.com for replacement details. Revive 3-Wick Candles. Metaluneca is recalling about 38,000 Revive 3-Wick Soy Candles because the candle's high flames can ignite the surface of the wax, posing fire and burn hazards. The candles were sold at Metaluneca stores, catalog, and online from November 2020 through December 2020 for $23 to $33. What to do? Stop using the candle, cut the wick short enough to prevent the candle from being used, and discard it. Call Maluka at 800-742-8094 for refund details. CB2 Chests and Dressers. CB2 is recalling about 11,000 junction tall chests and low dressers because they are unstable if not anchored to the wall, posing tip-over and entrapment hazards to children. The furniture was sold at CB2 stores and online at cb2.com. from December 2012 through July 2019 for $700 to $850. What to do? If the chest dresser or dresser is not properly anchored to a wall, stop using it and move the furniture to where children can't access it. Call CB2 at 800-451-8217 or go to cb2.com for details and to get a full store credit or a refund. Well, since many of our listeners depend on their ears for a whole lot of sensory information, this next item is probably pretty important, and it's a product update. And they also list level of noise in decibels. Fireworks get almost 140 decibels. A lawnmower is just a little below 100. A normal conversation is about 60. And a whisper like this is about, 22, 23 decibels. And the best noise-canceling headphones for less. Our latest test turns up great performance at lower prices, plus smart new features for every budget. And there's a picture of a whole bunch of these different kind of things, and one is standard-looking earphones, which are Anchor Soundcore Life at $50, which scored a 75, which is a high rank. Then the Clear Alley Plus, which is basically earplugs, and those are $100, and they scored a 70. The Sony has similar earplugs also. They scored at 87 at $230, it kind of figures. And the Panasonic RF5500 at $180 also scored a 75. Here are a lot of reasons to love noise-canceling headphones. The best models deliver great audio quality while reducing outsized noise with the use of sophisticated electronics that can boost your enjoyment, and audiologists say it may even help protect your hearing because you won't need to crank up volume to hear every note. But not too long ago, choices were limited. Most noise-canceling headphones were bulky cans that fit over ears, and the few in-ear models on the market housed electronics in an external compartment you had to slide into a pocket or wear around your neck. It was hard to get a great pair for less than $300. That's all changed. You can find much sleeker over-the-ear models packed with convenient new features, as well as tiny noise-canceling earbuds to fit in the palm of your hand, and prices start much lower, too. At Proof Technology, we're seeing more and more models that get an excellent rating for noise cancellation, and the best pairs filter out more sound than anything we've tested in the past, says Elias Arias, project leader for headphone testing at Consumer Reports. All noise-canceling headphones work best on low-pitched drones like airplane noise rather than on fluctuating sounds like dog barking, but many new models have features that make them versatile in other ways. For instance, variable noise cancellation lets you adjust the level of sound blocking so you can choose whether you want full isolation or just a damper on your surroundings that doesn't cut you off entirely. The Bose noise-canceling headphones 700 give you 11 levels of noise cancellation to cycle through. Another few feature on models called monitor or transparency mode actually pipes in or amplifies the sound from your environment. Even with the noise cancellation turned off entirely, any pair of headphones will physically muffle outside sounds. Monitor mode can make environmental sounds much clearer while you're enjoying audio through your headphones. Why would you want that? Imagine you're listening to music on a walk, but want to hear approaching cars, or you're catching a podcast in a cafe, but still want to know when your order is called. Some models let you trigger monitor mode with a tap, almost like a mute button. You might be listening to music during a flight, for example, and briefly turn on monitor mode to hear an announcement. Adding convenience, many new models have free smartphone apps that allow adjustments like tweaking the bass and treble or customizing what the buttons on the headphones do. Lower prices. Noise-canceling headphones have always been more expensive than conventional models. Just a few years ago, a decent pair cost less than $150 was a rare bargain. These days, you can spend one-third as much. The Anker Soundcore Live Q20, which we have just described in a picture, costs just $50 and delivers sound quality that rates very good and noise reduction that rates excellent. Want something even cheaper? The mono-priced BT300 ANC ranks almost as high as the Anker and costs only $45, $5 difference. To be clear, these are exceptional deals. Bose's flagship noise-canceling headphones cost $380, while Apple's new over-the-ear AirPods Max sell for a whopping $550. Regular headphones rated excellent range from $70 to $350, but in between those two prices extremes are lots of other worthwhile headphones to consider. One standout is the Sennheiser PXE 552, which matches the best pair in CR's ratings with excellent scores for audio quality and noise cancellation for as little as $200. Prices can fluctuate quite a bit. The Sennheiser comes with a variety of premium features, including variable noise canceling, a monitor mode, and an auto-pause feature that kicks in when you take the headphones off. More variety, too. The biggest change in headphones over the past 5 years has been the explosion of true wireless models, which don't have a cable connecting the two earpieces. In fact, nearly all the portable noise-canceling models in CR's ratings are now this type. The best-known option is probably the 220 AirPods Pro, Apple's noise-canceling update to its ever-popular wireless earbuds. They do well in our test, with sound rated very good and noise cancellation rated excellent. But other true wireless pairs perform even better. For just a bit more money, you can pick up the Sony WF-1000XM3, our top portable model, which has better audio than the AirPods deliver. The Panasonic RSS-500W gets the same rating as the AirPods for $40 less. Some people prefer in-ear models because they find wearing headphones over or in the ear less comfortable, especially when they're trying to sleep on a train or a plane, or because larger models can mess up their hair. Before you decide, though, you should know about a few potential downsides to true wireless pairs. For one thing, they can feel heavy in the ear. Also, we found that it can sometimes be tricky to get a good fit. The ear tips must form tight seals in both ears or the noise cancellation won't work as well. It's wise to check return policies before you buy them. Battery life is another factor to consider. Some over-the-ear styles can keep running for more than a day of listening time, according to their manufacturers. Just 6 hours is more common with the true wireless models. But true wireless models usually come in a case with a built-in battery that doubles as a charger. Most cases provide at least one field charge on the go, and many can recharge your earphones multiple times before the case needs to be plugged in again. Regular headphones minus the noise. Some people find that headphones with noise-canceling technology can produce an uncomfortable feeling of pressure, almost like being underwater. An alternative is to look for a regular pair of headphones or earphones that simply block out a lot of sound by forming a tight seal in or around the ear. The over-the-ear Audio Technio AF-M50X $150 can do a good job of this, but headphone fits vary a lot from one person to the next. So if you're looking for a good seal, be sure to try on headphones before you buy them if possible. When you do, turn your head from side to side to see whether the shifting pulls the ear cups away from your head. Check the retailer's return policy, too. With in-ear models, you can also try upgrading the tips to get a better fit. Companies such as Comply sell inexpensive replacements designed to block out noise. It's worth a try. If folks want something that form fits to the shape of the ear canal, says Elias Arias, who tests headphones for CR, it may give better isolation, can even be more comfortable. Comply tips tend to be the go-to insert for professional musicians. The right headphones for a noisy flight. Any noise-canceling headphones are a solid pick for travel. These models don't just insulate your ears, they actively counteract incoming sound waves with fancy acoustical engineering. They work best with consistent low-pitched noises. The inspiration for the concept was supposedly a transatlantic flight. The right headphones for an evening walk? Headphones with variable noise cancellation or a monitor mode can keep you aware of what's happening around you, whether it's traffic or other pedestrians. The two technologies work differently, but they both let you switch from full isolation to a mode where you can hear your surroundings. And the right headphones for using loud tools. Stick with earmuffs or plugs made for hearing protection. Noise-canceling models aren't approved for protecting you from dangerously loud noises. Look for product noise reduction rating, overseen by the Environmental Protection Agency, to see how much it will reduce the outside sound. And for sound advice ratings, these noise-canceling wireless headphones are divided into trenchable models that can fit over your ears and highly portable earphones that fit in your ear canals. Wireless portable headphones, the Sony WF-1000 got an 87 at $230. The Master and Dynamic got a 76 at $300. The Boys Quiet Comfort got a $200. The Panasonic RS-550 at $180 got a $75. Apple AirPods Pro got a $75 at $220. JBL Club Pros got a $75 at $200. House of Marley Redemption ANC at $200 got a $72. As did Jabra Elite at $230. Samsung Galaxy Buds Live at $140, and Sony WF Spoon at $200. Also got 70s were Clear Alley Plus at $100, Sennheiser Momentum True Wireless at $250, Sony and Audio Tech got 69s at $180 and $180, Amazon Echo Buds got 65 at $90, and Plantronics at $60. Wireless home studio style headphones, the Bose Quiet Comfort at $300, the Boys Nose Canceling Headphones at $380, the Sennheiser PXC at $200, Apple AirPods Max at $550. Wireless home studio style headphones. Sony got a $75, as did Anchor Soundcore, Microphone Studio, Sony WX, Sony WH. All got 75s. The Sony was $350, the Anchor was $50, $250, $350, $200, $350, $130. All of those keep running down. There's a whole bunch of them here. Anyway. Well, we've got about 4 minutes left in the program, and I don't want to start one of the long articles and have to quit halfway through, so I'm going to do some fillers here. These are little pieces that I might skip over normally. And can tire sealants really fix a flat? Whether you're on a road trip or a trip to the store, a flat tire can take the wheels off your plans and even be dangerous. For many motorists, the best tools to deal with a flat tire are a phone and a roadside assistance membership. If you don't have those and are unable to replace the flat yourself, a tire sealant can let you limp along far enough to find professional help. Tire sealants are designed to plug small holes. Some are also meant to refill a flat tire. They range in price from around $10 for a bare-bones kind of sealant to about $80 for a full kit, which includes a portable inflator pump. Always smart to have one on hand in case of an emergency. It's not a permanent fix. You should always have the tire professionally repaired or replaced as quickly as possible, typically with 100 miles or as directed in the sealant instructions. Never try to repair a hole bigger than the one made by a large nail or a cutter hole in the sidewall. The products below are meant to plug a small hole in a tire's tread, but our testing reveals that not all of them perform as they're supposed to. Liquid tire sealants. Liquid tire sealants are designed to attach a small tire punctures by emptying the contents of the can into the tire through the air inflation valve. We tried the slime tire sealant through Core Technology. It sealed our small 2.4-millimeter test hole but could not plug the 5.8 puncture we made with a framing nail. Liquid tire sealants can plug a hole in a tire, but you still need a compressor or a portable tire inflator to pump the flat tire back up. In other words, a can of sealant on its own is not going to get you back on the road. Pressurized can sealants. These are single-use seal and inflate products applied through the air tire's inflation valve. Larger cans for pickup trucks and SUVs cost a few dollars more. While designed to offer more utility than liquid sealants, they do not impress in our test. The Fix-A-Flat sealed just the small 2.4-millimeter hole. SuperTech tire sealant and inflator from Walmart did not seal the large or small hole. Neither could fully inflate a truly flat tire. Pressurized cans can rupture in a hot car. Follow storage guidelines in the sealant container. And tire sealant kits. A full kit combines a replaceable can of a liquid sealant and a 12-point air compressor. Many new cars provide this type of kit in lieu of a spare tire. With most kits, the compressor forces air through a container of the tire sealant and into the flat tire. Unlike a pressurized can sealants, these kits can pump a truly flat tire up to its recommended pressure and be safely stored in the car. Our team favors the simple-to-use Airman Rescue Pro, which requires no assembly and comes with a carrying case. And how about I had a couple light things in all of the day's work to close out here. My husband is a physician and uses a dictation service to transcribe his oral notes. On occasion, the typists have accidentally altered the sentence structure or words, resulting in something my husband had not necessarily intended. For example, one transcriber wrote, "The patient is recently married, otherwise he is normal and healthy." In case you're wondering how being a manager is going, no one showed up today because I forgot to make this week's schedule. As she finished her dinner, my stuffed granddaughter turned to her mother and declared, "Mom, you make hamburgers so good you could work at McDonald's." A client was on trial accused of assault with a deadly weapon, a charge he vehemently denied. The state's star witness at the end of her lengthy testimony made the very damning statement, and that's when he started shooting at me with a .45. For my client, that was his gotcha moment. Abruptly leaving from his chair, he pointed at the accuser and shouted, "That's a lie! It was a .38. And with that, we've just about run out of time for today's episode of the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long until next week, and thanks so much for listening.